Tonight, we have the awesome privilege of a woman of God bringing the word to us. Christina Leon's been a leader in our ministry for a couple years now, and she loves the word. She has an incredible ability to articulate the word of God, and she has just an awesome ability to hear from the Lord. And so tonight, I am just way excited for her to bring the word. She shared a little bit about what she was going to bring tonight, and it just spoke to my soul and edified me. And so I know it's going to do that to us tonight. Amen? So you guys receive her with me tonight, Christina. Amen.
So the last couple weeks, we've been speaking on this topic of identity, and it's been kind of this journey that Pastor Reed's been taking us on through Revelation, and he's been teaching on these churches in Revelation, and we've been kind of seeing how our identity sort of parallels some of those churches when it talks about their lukewarmness, when it talks about, you know, that they've lost sight of their first love. And there was one church in there that was so proud of their righteousness and their holiness that they wouldn't even let God in their doors. There's this image that Reed shared with us. And tonight I kind of want to talk about more about ourselves as individuals and our identity as individuals. And a couple of weeks ago, the Lord just spoke this vision to me that was just so profound, and I think that it really, really fits in with this segue from going from how we see ourselves as a congregation to how we see ourselves as individuals and the importance of that. And what the vision was, or this picture was we were united as a body. You know, I think that all of us can probably agree here that we have a passion and a heart to see our city saved, right? We have hopes and desires to see our city turn their hearts towards God, right? And I think that it's probably pretty safe to say that we want to march towards the city walls and take over the city. And so with that criteria set, it's interesting to me how very few of us actually see ourselves as warriors. It's easy to see ourselves as an army. We see ourselves as an army ready to march towards the city walls. But very rarely do we see ourselves individually as warriors in that army. And God was speaking to me about how we were approaching this city wall. And it was this very thick stone wall. You know, it's like a castle. Just think of our city walls as castles. Anyway, we walked up to this and we didn't have any armor on at all. We weren't equipped with the appropriate armor to go to battle. So we walked up to this city wall and we started banging our fists against this thick stone wall, obviously creating no damage. Obviously, we weren't going to overcome this city, right? So what the Lord was speaking was that if we don't see ourselves as warriors, we may have the hopes and desires to take over a city. We may have everything that we need as an army to take over a city. We have all the strategy and all that stuff. But if we don't see ourselves as warriors, if we don't put on the armor that's necessary, we aren't going to overcome our enemy. And if we don't see ourselves as God's beloved, if we don't see ourselves as what He's called us to be, then we can't accurately address the things in our hearts and minds that need to be transformed. So I want to read, if you want to go with me, to Ephesians 2, chapter 12. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. Skip down to verse 19. It says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. We don't have to see ourselves as foreigners anymore. We don't have to see ourselves as aliens anymore. God has created us and made us to be members of His household. At one time, we were foreigners. At one time, we spoke a different language. We were a part of a different culture. But God has called us to be in His household and members of His household. You know, it's interesting. It talks about adoption in here. That passage is really about adoption. And it's funny. Any of you guys think about adopting a baby? Probably none of you. Maybe Reed. You guys? You're not even married. China baby? Yeah, I thought about adopting a China baby. They're the hardest. It's the longest list to adopt a baby from China. It costs $30,000 to $40,000 to adopt a baby, a foreign baby. It's a big sacrifice for an adoptive family or adoptive parents. It costs them so much for that child to be a part of their family. That baby, that foreign baby, China baby, didn't do anything to deserve the love of their new adoptive parents. Absolutely nothing. They may have never even met their adoptive parents. Maybe they saw their parents saw in a picture of them or something, but they didn't have to prove anything or show that they were really good at something. Or that baby did nothing, absolutely nothing, except for be born and to have a name. For those new parents to see that child and know that it needed a family, that it needed a home, and they adopted that child. And I see the parallels in this so greatly that we, when God calls us adopted into His family, we didn't do anything to deserve the love of God. We did absolutely nothing to be a part of His household, to be a member, and to be accepted by Him. We did absolutely nothing. In fact, we don't even deserve to be in His family. We don't deserve to be loved by God. But while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, and He was willing to go through the sacrifice greater than any adoptive parent would ever do. He went through death, and He went through incredible amounts of suffering, and He paid the cost just so we could be members of His household. So go ahead and pray with me. Heavenly Father, we worship You tonight. God, help us to understand where our identity lies. God, help us to see ourselves the way that You see us. God, help us to be passionate about You. God, help our hearts be transformed by Your word tonight. God, I pray that You would speak powerfully and mightily. God, that You would bring new revelation, Lord. God, that every single heart here tonight, God, that would be willing to expose, God, their brokenness and their hurts and wounds to You. God, that we would be a congregation and individuals that are willing, God, to just open up our hearts to You so that You can come in and transform us and heal us. In Jesus' name. I think that there's a couple ways that we tend to define ourselves. And one of those ways is we tend to define ourselves by what we are not. Would you guys agree with that? I think that generally there's probably two ways. One of them is what we are not. And this could show itself in, you know, I don't look like this person, or I don't have anything that's really, you know, something that's like my niche, you know. I don't really have that like niche, or I don't know what my giftings are. Somebody else's giftings may be better. It's a very comparative mindset that we have. It's very comparative. And I think that we think this way because either we don't know who we are or we don't want to know who we are. Because we start seeing the things that we're lacking. We start seeing that you know, maybe we get our little niche and then we start becoming really, really good at that thing. And what happens is we find somebody else that maybe is better at that thing than us. And what happens is it causes us to think, well, what is my identity? Who am I if I don't have this thing or if somebody is better at it than me? Then we go and we try to find something else that maybe we can grab hold of. But let me tell you, there are not enough identities out there for all of us to have different ones. If you're thinking of your identity in something that you can become, something like, I'm a basketball player, you know what I mean? Or I'm going to be a doctor when I grow up. If you start considering your identity as those things, you're always going to find somebody that has more ability and more capacity in those things than you. Go ahead and turn with me to Romans chapter 7. And verse 14. Everybody there? I don't see very many Bibles. Funny.
Got my word.
I hate it when preachers do that. Who's got their Bible tonight? We love our Bibles. Okay, it says, we know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. Prize for whoever can count how many do's are in this passage. 6 so far? 10? As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. There's two powers that are at work within us. The power of the Holy Spirit and the power of sin. And interestingly, Paul says in this passage, in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But for some reason, he keeps on sinning. He keeps on doing the things that he hates. And it leads me to believe that Paul probably felt the same way that we all feel here. That there's this part of us that so desires to do the things that God has called us to do. That there's this part of us that so desires to delight in God's law, that wants to do good. But for some reason, we just can't seem to be that. We have this whole other part of us, this false self that Paul talks about, that seems to take over. That there's this sin that seems so powerful and persistent in our lives that we can't overcome it. And we get wrapped up in it. And there's this false self that we need to deal with, this illusion to who we really are. We tend to project this false self, this illusion, and that's what everybody else sees. And that's the law that we begin to follow. We're no longer following the law of God. We're following the laws of our sinful nature, of our false self. There's another way that we tend to define ourselves. And I think that this one's probably the most obvious. We tend to define ourselves based on what we do. So the last one was what we aren't, and this one is what we do. And this is very obvious or very evident in social gatherings, you know, or like at parties or something. You know, guy might go up to a girl and say, "Hey girl, what's your fan?" I've had this happen to me actually. Any girls actually have a guy ask them what their sign was? Yeah. Any guys ever ask a girl what their sign is? Joel? Jolly Pete! And they always ask it in a very Ebonics type way. What's your sign? I do. I can totally see you doing that. I never really understood why they ask that question. Like, my sign? I'm a Libra. I think that's a scale. Maybe I weigh things a lot. I don't really know what that says about me. But anyways, we may define ourselves based on our social context or our familial context, the roles in our families or the roles in our circle of friends. You know, I could easily define myself. I could say, "Hi, my name's Christina. Always a bridesmaid, never a bride." This, not real. I could easily do that. Right? I could say, "Hi, I'm a middle child." Wow, that explains a lot, somebody would probably say. Apparently there's something about middle children. I don't know. Or mediators. Anyways, we may define ourselves based on our talents. You could easily say, "I'm an artist." And that explains a lot about who you are, potentially. You may define yourself based on being a basketball player or being a good musician or something that you're really good at. "I'm really well organized. You know, I'm really good at cleaning things." We could easily define ourselves based on our talents. Another way we may define ourselves is our giftings. I'm a worship leader down at Generation Ministries. I don't know if you've heard of me. Kind of a big deal. My name's Jordan Ross. I don't know. But you see how we can get caught up in this? We can get caught up in defining ourselves in certain ways. And when we start defining ourselves based on our talents or on our giftings or the things that influence us or move us or on our roles, our actions become determined based on the responses of other people, based on the responses of men. And when our responses or when our actions are determined by the responses of other people, and when the responses of other people hold primacy over God's response, not only is this idolatry, but we start to see where our identity is really rooted. And it's idolatry for several reasons. It's idolatry because we start not really caring about what God has called us to be. It becomes secondary to what man desires of us, to the appetites of man. We start saying, "You know, God, you know, character and righteousness and holiness and all of those things, I know you called me to be those things, but they're just not important right now. What's more important is that I get the affirmation and the approval and the acceptance of men. So I'm going to take up this false identity, because what you've called me to be isn't good enough for men. So I'm going to take up this false identity and attach it to myself, project it out there as an illusion, and that's what I want men to see. I want to be what they've asked me to be." And I think that the way we tend to define ourselves is used to cover up things. We do this because, well, I think it's because we're covering up our brokenness. I think it's because we're covering up hurts and wounds that God wants to reveal and expose in our life. I think it's because we are so consumed by self-hatred and by our lack of things and by our desire to please other people, that we put on this false self, hoping that others will accept it, hoping that others will accept our false selves. Because we can't handle exposing who we really are, because it means we have to be vulnerable and genuine. Sometimes that isn't easy. The Lord spoke to me a picture about a year ago, and it was really transformational in my life. And it was this picture of this amazing sunset, just a gorgeous sunset. It was just incredible, and the colors were saturated, just blues and pinks and just bright, amazing colors. The perfect outline of the sun, and just a place you really wanted to be. You know, you wanted to be sitting on that beach, like just taking it in real for reals, you know. And what happened was this painter came up, and I was just enjoying this picture. He just came up and he just started running a paintbrush over this painting. And I was a little confused because nothing was really happening. It was just creating ripples, but he wasn't changing anything on the picture. The painting wasn't any different. And what I noticed was that behind me was the actual picture. That behind me was the real thing, and what was in front of me was just a reflection of the real thing. And when the painter tried to come and brush across the canvas, nothing changed because it wasn't real. He couldn't change something that was just a reflection, just an illusion of the real thing. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, you have to turn from the illusion in order to be transformed. That we have to come to God exposed, stripping ourselves of our false selves, of all those masks, in order for God to actually change us. Because if we come to God as an illusion, with that projected illusion, and want to be transformed, nothing is going to change. See, when Adam and Eve, they were walking in the garden, and they sinned. We all know the story. But before they sinned, they were totally unashamed of their nakedness. Completely unashamed. They didn't even know that they were naked. It was totally normal to them. Their nakedness was completely normal. But once they sinned, they recognized their brokenness. They recognized that they had sin and dirt on their bodies. They recognized that they were completely exposed and that their sin was exposed to God. And so what they did was they hid it. They covered themselves. They covered themselves so that God wouldn't be able to see their brokenness. They wanted to hold in their brokenness. So God was walking through the garden and he said, Adam, where are you? Where are you? See, God didn't see Adam. He didn't see Adam and Eve because he didn't recognize them. He didn't recognize the man or woman that he created. And when we come to God stripped of all of our masks, we come completely stripped of that false self, God recognizes the man or woman that he created. And he starts moving in our lives to transform the areas that need to be transformed. And I want to propose tonight that the false self comes from our hurts and wounds. That it's born out of hurts and wounds. See, children don't really understand, or most children don't really think about being loved by their parents. They don't really think about having to earn the love of their parents. But slowly as they begin, once that first time that person sinned against them, and this has happened to all of us, there was a time when you didn't feel like you needed to earn the love of anyone. But that first time somebody sinned against you, that first time somebody hurt you, If your parent ever rejected you, or if your mother or father ever left your family and abandoned your family, if you were ever rejected by classmates or by a girlfriend or boyfriend, you've experienced the sins of others. You've experienced hurts and wounds. And what happens is those hurts and wounds turn into fears. So if your parents ever abandon you, you start walking in a fear of abandonment. If anybody ever rejects you, you start walking in fear of rejection. We have fear of disapproval, that people won't approve of us. This was like my life forever, pretty much. I was a chameleon. I could pretty much be anyone to anyone. I had so many masks. I walked in my false self for so long. I seriously had so many masks. Anytime somebody would poke at a wound or poke at one of the hurts that I had, it was like a mask immediately. And I had many of them. It's like a wardrobe full of masks, all colorized and stylized. Matching hangers. You know? You guys have that too, I know. Anyway. But I needed that safety blanket. I needed that comfort. I needed to know that I was in control of who got to get in. Of who got to see who I really was. I hated the fact that I was vulnerable and hurting. I hated that I had all of this brokenness and these hurts and wounds, and that people might see them. That if I expose myself and I let people see who I really was, they would probably just reject me. They would probably abandon me. This was my perception. This was my reality. So instead of going to God and exposing myself to God and allowing Him to heal my brokenness, I pushed God away and I said, I don't think so. I don't think I want you to go there. I don't think I want you to touch those areas in my life. I don't want to be vulnerable. I don't want to be emotional. I don't want to have to be genuine. So I picked up this false identity. I said, you know what? This identity right here is better because I can be anything to anyone. I don't ever have to feel emotional or vulnerable. I can put on this false identity and I can look confident and I can look strong and I can look like I've got it all together. And then I know who I am. But real transformation cannot happen unless we are transparent with God. We cannot be transformed. I think that there's probably a lot of really, really broken people here tonight. I think that there's a lot of people here that have a lot of hurts and wounds and fears. I think that pretty much it's safe to say every single one of us in here has fears and brokenness and hurts. That people have sinned against us and it's jaded us. It's affected our relationships. It's affected how we love other people and how we let other people love us. How we love God and how we allow God to love us. But I think that tonight God wants to walk into our brokenness. Walk into the areas of our hearts that are broken and hurting. He wants to begin unraveling the bandages. He wants to touch those areas and bring healing. But when God does that, when He starts unwinding those bandages, we pull back, we retract. We say, God, I don't really want you to go there. I don't really want you to heal me because I don't want to do what it requires of me to be made well. I know it may be better, but I'm not willing to go through the suffering of exposing myself and having you transform me and get rid of all the things that I don't want you to strip all those things away. This last weekend, I heard a story of this woman. She was a deaf woman. She was born deaf. And I watched the video of her at this healing conference, and it was the point when God healed her of her deafness. And she was, this woman was born completely deaf, and she was learning a new language. Right then and there, they were talking to her, and she could hear what they were saying and repeat it back to them. It was incredible to watch on this video. And they found out later that once the woman realized that she would lose her disability, she was filled with this fear. Because she would be required to live a new life. She'd be required to change the way that she lived. And it was too uncomfortable for her. She wasn't willing to do what it required to be made well. She wasn't willing to get a new job. She wasn't willing to, go off disability and not get the free money and have to work and have to take care of herself and have to learn a new language. Being deaf, this woman was like 30 years old. The deaf, living in a deaf culture is completely different than living in a hearing culture. It's completely different. The way that you manage your life is completely different. But what happened was when she realized that all of this would happen, she was filled with fear. And she lost her healing. God said, okay, if you don't want to be well, then I won't make you be well. If you don't want healing in your life, okay, I'm not going to make you be well. And I think that this parallels perfectly with the way that we think sometimes, that we're not willing to do what is required of us to be made well. It requires us to be vulnerable, and it requires us to be genuine. It requires us to be emotionally honest with God. And when we're willing to do that, when we're willing to be naked and unashamed before God, that's when He begins walking into our brokenness. He begins unwinding those bandages. He begins exposing our hurts and our wounds. And He begins touching us and healing us. And we start walking in genuineness. Man, I've seen some really ungenuine people. I worked at Nordstrom's for 3 years. And it's like people that are just always happy. They always have a smile. It's like Botox, permanently. Always smiling. And you're like, wow, I can really tell that you're not genuine. I can really tell that that's really fake. But what happens is we start walking in genuineness. When we allow God to heal those hurts and wounds, people can tell when you're not being genuine. People can tell when you're covering something up. It is the most obvious thing. People start laughing to cover up how much pain they're in. How many of us do that, consistently all the time? It's easy to throw out a giggle rather than a tear. But when we're willing to be transparent, when we allow God to transform us, then we can really love ourselves and love other people. And more importantly, we can receive the love of other people, and we can receive the love of God. So we've talked about a couple ways that we define ourselves, by what we are not and by what we do, and some of the implications of that, and some of the reasons why we may do that. But how do we define ourselves? What is our identity? How do we discover our identity? Who are we really? Who has God created us to be? How does God define us? And I want to read a couple of scriptures. Romans 8, 14 through 16 says, "For all who are led by the Spirit are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption." When we cry, "Abba," it is the Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. See, we're adopted. God received us into His family. He received us into His household. We need to start seeing ourselves as children of God and God as our Abba. 1 John 3:1 says, "Think of the love the Father has lavished on us by letting us be called God's children." And that is what we are. God's purpose for us was to be in communion with Him. His original purpose for us was to be in communion with Him. And I think that sometimes when we think of the word purpose, we immediately translate that into, what am I going to do for God? When somebody starts speaking to you, you have purpose and destiny. We immediately translate that into, I'm going to do something great for God. I'm going to do something great. What am I going to do for God? But we weren't created to be human doings. We were created to be human beings. When God calls us by name, He calls us beloved. We are beloved of God. And I find it so fascinating that beloved, separated, says be loved. Be loved. That child, that Chinese baby, we talked about, it didn't do anything to earn the love of those parents. Every human child, every child that's been born all over the world, in order to be loved, it simply had to be. It simply had to be born to be loved. We don't have to do anything to be members of God's household except for be. And know that we are beloved. To understand that we are loved by God. It's so simple. All we have to do is understand that we are loved by God and that we are called by a new name, that we are called beloved. Revelation 2:17 talks about this new name. It was a scripture that talks about what the Lord called us, and it was just so wonderful because one of the parts is that He says, "I call you sought after." Your new name will be sought after. A city no longer deserted. That's like the second half of it, but I think that's enough. But it's so powerful that God would rename us sought after. A city no longer deserted. That we have been filled with the love of God. Genesis 1:43 says, "We are created in His own image." Romans 8:9 says, "We are to conform to the likeness of Christ." And Ephesians 4:24, we read before, it says, "Put on the new self." We have to remember that God so loved the world that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That we didn't do anything to deserve it. But that He loves us and He's passionate about us. That we are sought after by God. That we are beloved of God. I think that God wants to restore some things in our lives tonight. I think that God wants to restore the things that He created us to be. I think that God wants to start stripping us of those masks. and exposing some things in our lives. And God wants to heal us tonight. And if you guys are willing to just continue worshiping with me and just allowing God to come in to those broken places and heal us, if you're willing to do what is required of you, if you're willing to be transparent and open with God tonight, then we can walk out of this place together free, recognizing who God called us to be, recognizing ourselves as the man or woman of God that God destined us to be. So I want us to respond to God tonight. And you can do that in your seats, or you're free to come up here if you need a little bit more room. But I want us to respond to God. And if there are hurts and wounds that you need to deal with tonight and expose to God, if there is healing that needs to happen, if there's been things that you've been, identities that you've been putting on and things that you've allowed yourself to be involved with, that are things that are obviously not things that God has called you to be, I want us to give those things up to God. I want to let God restore some things in our hearts and in our minds tonight about who we are, about what we were created to be. So if you guys would just stand with me tonight. If you guys are willing to open up your hearts to God tonight, if you're willing to let Him come in and expose yourself, I just want you to open up your hands to Him. Surrender your lives to God. God, we worship You, Lord. We magnify You, God. We give You our lives. God, we repent, Lord, for the identities that we have put on, God, for the rejection of You that we have lived our lives, God, that we have abandoned the calling that You have given us, Lord. God, that You have become secondary. You've become a secondary mindset, a secondary identity, God. That we desire to live in our false identity, God, more than we desire to live in character and holiness and righteousness. God, we repent. Confess our sins to You tonight. God, we expose our brokenness to You tonight, God. We expose the areas of our lives, God, that we have kept hidden from You. God, those dark places of our hearts that we have not yet let be exposed to the light. God, but You say that anything that is exposed to the light will become light. God, and I pray that You would turn our brokenness into glory for You, God. That we would become the wounded healers. If there's things in your life that you need to confess to God and brokenness that you need to give to Him, just start praying into those things and repenting of those things and asking God to heal you of your brokenness. God, I pray that You would come and heal us of our fears. God, that you would heal us of those hurts and wounds, the sins that others have committed against us. God, we forgive those people tonight. God, we forgive the people that have hurt us in our childhood. God, we forgive our mothers and fathers for walking out on us, for rejecting us and abandoning us. Come to You with our hearts exposed. willing to be vulnerable with you, willing to be transparent with you, willing to be emotionally honest with you, God. Come transform our lives. Come transform our hearts. Nothing this world has to offer, no other identity compares to who you've called us to be, who you've created us to be. God, that no amount of wealth, no about amount of acceptance by men, God, no amount of beauty or health can compare to the love that you have for us. God, you are everything that matters. We worship you tonight, God.